There was a poem that came out in 1984, and it has touched and encouraged many, many people. But the thing was, it was written almost 50 years before that, and it was just kind of lost and hidden and found in 1984 and published. It was written by a 14-year-old. And yet, as we read this poem, you kind of wonder the depth and the spirituality of this 14-year-old named Mary Stevenson. And she wrote the poem, Footprints in the Sand. Most of you, if you've been around the block a few times, have heard that. I'm going to read it again here today just to kind of remind you. If you've never heard it, you'll be blessed by this poem. It reads, "One night I dreamed a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. When the last scene of my life shot before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. There was only one set of footprints. I realized that this was at the lowest and saddest times of my life. This always bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about my dilemma. Lord, you told me, when I decided to follow you, you would walk and talk with me all the way. But I'm aware that during the most troublesome times of my life, there is only one set of footprints. I just don't understand why, when I need you the most, you leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." And everybody said, oh, yeah, that's a sweet sentiment for us here today. And so as I proceed here today, I'm not dismissing the power of this poem here today. It has been an encouragement. It's an inspirational reminder that God is with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. In fact, we have a tapestry in our home with this poem on it. It was given to Karen when her mom passed away. And so, yes, it is an encouragement. But when we look at this poem, usually you'll find it with a snapshot or a tapestry or a picture, and it's framed, and you'll see footsteps, of course, walking by the seashore. And what I want you to see here is just it's a snapshot of a time, of something frozen in time, all right? And so I want to look at this picture here. I want you to notice something here today. Most of us have been to the beach, right? At one time or another. I've been to multiple beaches, different places around the United States and even in other countries. And I'm not a beach person. And as soon as you walk off the boardwalk or enter the beach area, how many know that the dry sand is very hot, right? It kind of makes you kind of wish you had some shoes on, right? It makes you hot foot across the sand, right? And if you notice in the dry sand, there is no distinct footprints. So if you want to see footprints on the beach, where do you have to go? You got to go closer to the water where the sand is damp or even wet. But as we look at this picture, as you look at that picture, you'll notice that those footprints aren't going to be there for very long. And that's kind of what I want to talk about here and focus on here today. And so I believe we need something a little bit more concrete than just footprints on the sand, because I believe at times, if you're walking down the beach and you look behind you, there may not be any footprints. And so as you're walking through life and going through things, you would hopefully want to see some footprints, right? But sometimes we don't. And if we don't, we're going to be discouraged, and we're going to ask Jesus, why weren't you there? So as we look at this, we also understand that we want something a little bit more concrete than sand. And I mean that literally. How many of you ever paved a driveway or a sidewalk and you kind of scribbled or etched your initials in there or had your kids put their handprints or their footprints? How many know that's going to last a long time? It's going to last for decades and not just for a moment. And as we look at that, we're encouraged. We're reminded of a time past. We're reminded of that event in our lives. And so as we look at this, I want to ask this question. What do you want as a reminder here today of God's faithfulness? Do you want footprints in the sand? It sounds a little bit more romantic because many of you, I know, love to go to the beach. Multitudes of us. I'm not a beach person. Me and I think Linda may be the only two people here that like the mountains rather than the beach. Yours hand don't count. All right. But we know that footprints on the beach are going to be temporary. But we want a little bit something more concrete. How many know what the Bible says about the Word of God? It says the Word of heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. And so we want something a little bit more permanent. And so we're going to look at the Word of God, and today we need to consider, where are we building our house? On the sand or on the rock? Jesus left us some big footprints to follow and to fill. And so I'm going to read a few scriptures here and kind of give you the essence of what I'm talking about. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, then Jesus said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, follow in my footprints, you must give up your own way. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit next week. This is kind of a foundation. This is not what I really wanted to preach the first round, but this is kind of laying a foundation for what we're going to talk about next week. You must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and what? Follow my footprints. 1 Peter 2:21, Peter's writing to slaves who have become Christians. And how many know slaves weren't always treated very nicely? And Peter writes this. He says, to this you were called. Not to be slaves, okay? That's not what he's talking about. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footprints. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 is one we read quite often. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. So we have entered into the family business. As Jesus had people follow his footprints on this earth, those that followed him, he said, what I've given to you, what I've done to you, I want you to turn around and give it to others. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1, be ye followers of me, or follow in my footprints, even as I follow Christ's footprints. And so we have that understanding. There's a condition there, right? As long as I'm going the right direction, guys, follow me. I'll lead you to the right direction. So there was a precedent set in the scriptures that we are to walk in the footprints of Jesus Christ. Paul even wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2. He said, this was given to me. Timothy, I give it to you. I want you to teach it to others, and I want them to teach it to others. And so we are called to follow in the footprints of those that have gone on before us. And so as we look at this today, we're going down to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And like Jesus, we are called to leave our footprints for others to follow. And as a church, that's what we're trying to establish here this year, is to figure out where we're going. We got to know where we're going if we want people to follow. And so as we look at this here today, we realize that Christ is no longer on the earth. He is not leaving footprints, but guess what? Christ in us is leaving footprints. And so we want people to follow us as we follow Jesus Christ. So let me just lay this out for you here today. It says in verse 11 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind or crazy, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And so this is where we come down to where we're heading here this morning. In verse 16, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. That's important for us here. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So in three of these verses, we find the word reconcile five times. So let's take notice of that here this morning. We need to understand what the word reconcile means. It means to restore friendly relations between. How many know the world is at odds with God? Because there is something that divides God from man, and that is called sin. And Jesus has come to reconcile, to bridge the gap between God and man. It also means to cause to coexist in harmony, make or show to be compatible. It means to make one account consistent with another. That's good if you have a checkbook, right? It's good to reconcile. It means to settle a disagreement. It means to make someone accept, and I kind of like what the parentheses says in the definition, a disagreeable or unwelcome thing. How many know the world does not want to hear about Jesus Christ, right? They do not want to hear that they are a sinner. They don't want to hear that they're lost, that they're a heathen, that they're a reprobate, right? They don't want to be told that they're deceived. And so as individuals who have the ministry and the message of reconciliation, we need to learn how to be tactful. We need to learn how to be strategic. If I got up here and said, all you reprobate lost sinners, right? You might be a little bit offended, right? It's not pleasant words that you want to hear. So why would we want to share that message with the world, right? So we are called to reconcile, not push people away from Jesus Christ, but to bring them closer to Jesus Christ. So what we see in the scriptures in verse 18, we see a progression of reconciliation taking place. We see God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And so because he's done that, he turns around and says, I'm going to give you the ministry of reconciliation. What you have experienced, I want you to turn around and I want you to share that same message with somebody else. And in verse 19, we see that God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. It's terrible to have a ministry and not know what to do with it. So he has not only given us the ministry of reconciliation, but he has given us the message. He has given us the words to say. How many know that when we learn scripture, the Bible, how many know reading the Bible is important? Learning the Bible, hiding the Bible in your heart is important, because we are to share the gospel of what Jesus Christ has done, the good news. But it also includes our testimony. How many know your testimony is powerful? It is the gospel in action. So you need to have your testimony ready to go when you share Jesus Christ with people, because you want to give them a commercial of how wonderful Jesus Christ can be for them. And so we see God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And so it goes to verse 20. We are therefore, since we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation, we are now God's ambassadors. We are his representative. We go in his stead. We have authority to speak in his name, to do mighty things in his name. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, though God were making his appeal through us. Isn't that amazing that God has chosen people to draw other people to himself? We can't get around it, church. That is our one job in this world, is to reconcile people to God. We have a hard time reconciling to ourselves to each other in the same room. But we are called to reconcile an ungodly world, a world that does not know about Jesus Christ or understand Jesus Christ, to a Christ that loves them and died for them. So where am I going with this? What's this have to do with a poem called Footprints in the Sand? Every day of our lives, we are leaving footprints behind us. Let's look at genetic or biological footprints. Some of you are multi-generational in this church. And so you are busy, 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 busy making footprints. Right? Maybe you haven't. Maybe you adopted them all. I don't know. But there are you have left genetic, biological footprints. All right? You have children and grandchildren. You have left some footprints on this world. If we look at your kids, if we look at your family members, we may even see some resemblance between them. Sometimes family members do not resemble each other. All my life, I was told by my mom, I was adopted. My siblings took after my dad's kind of family. I took after her family. And so as I grew up, it was like, maybe I was adopted. But now I look at pictures and I can see myself and my brothers, and that's scary. So, but you have left DNA, right? We have left DNA footprints in our families. It doesn't matter where you're at in your family tree, there is DNA that can track you to the roots. So we leave genetic and biological footprints as we go through this world. But we also leave digital footprints. How many have ever heard digital footprints, right? And every time you turn on, or if your electronic device is on right now, guess what? Somebody knows exactly where you're at. You are being tracked. Your physical location is being tracked. And if you're online with your Bible app, hopefully it's a Bible app that you're looking at this moment and not something else, you are being tracked. You have an IP address. And I looked it up this morning, and it's kind of like the return address on a letter, meaning that as soon as you send something out, guess what? They know exactly who you are and where you are because you have an IP address. So as much as we would like to delete things and pretend we never looked at them or we were never someplace we shouldn't be, we delete it. But guess what? There's a return address. They know exactly where you've been, and it's never been erased. You think it's been erased, but it's there. It's recorded. I was looking for a truck bed cover for my truck. And, of course, you go into a website, and you look at the different prices. You look at the different models. You try to find something that'll fit your truck. And so guess what? What shows up on the advertisements on the websites that I'm looking at? Truck beds. Because what? They're tracking me. They're watching me. So beware that you are leaving digital footprints. You are leaving relational footprints. And God desires us as God's people to love other people, correct? So what we're looking at here in our relationships, when we build relationships, we're hoping to be able to encourage one another, to look for opportunities to what? Bless one another, to share the gospel with individuals. Too many of us have virtual friends. How many know that God didn't call us to have virtual friends? He called us to have friends with people that we rub shoulders against. Real people. And so we're building relationships, what? To gain permission to speak into their life. As believers, that is our objective. We want to speak into people's life. And we have to gain their permission to do that. How many know some people don't want to give you that permission? How many people don't want to hear what you have to say? But others are hungry and want to hear what you have to say. So what we come across with relational footprints, we realize that some people are glad to see you come, and some people are glad to see you go, right? So you are leaving digital footprints. People either like you or they don't like you. So enjoy the ones that like you, And don't worry about the ones that don't. Amen. But the most important one we will look at here today is our spiritual footprints. We're all on a spiritual path. We're all on a journey with God. Somewhere down the line, somebody planted some seeds in your life, the seeds of the gospel into your life. And others came along and watered those seeds. And we know that the Bible says that God causes the growth. But we also have other individuals that enter into the harvest. How many were led by somebody to the Lord? Right? And so we see this progress going on in our lives. And so in this ministry of reconciliation, we turn around and do what others have done in our lives. We begin to plant in other people's lives. We begin to water the seeds that have already been planted in their lives. And we pray that God will cause them to grow to maturity. And sometimes we are even blessed with the opportunity of being there and being part of somebody coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, being part of the harvest. So we are leaving spiritual footprints for others to follow. And so why is this important? Because if we don't leave any prints, nobody's going to follow. Does that make sense? So let me just look at Joshua 24, 31 and Judges 2, verse 7. And I know you're all excited about this. Half of you are about ready to fall asleep. But this is important for us. Because this is what God's called us to do. So in Joshua 24, 31 and Joshua 2, 7, you will see that they are virtually the same verse. It says, Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. And if you continue on in Judges, three verses later, we have this in verse 10. After that, a whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They aroused the Lord's anger. So we see that there was a generation that arose that didn't have any footprints to follow. And so as we're looking at as our church, we have come into a church, we're fairly new to this congregation, and we believe it's a wonderful church, be filled with wonderful people. And so we're excited to be part of that. But what I want you to think about here today, I want you to think about the footprints that have been left by others to follow. Many of those individuals have passed away. They've gone on and they're in heaven. Others have moved to other churches and are part of other ministries. How many know that the footprints in the sand of time eventually are washed away? Look at this picture. What are we following? Because you can drive around in town here and in churches scattered throughout this area, and you can walk by buildings that only have a handful of people in it. There's nobody walking in their footprint. They didn't leave anything behind. And if we as a church do not decide to do something, eventually we may be one of those. We may be just an empty building on a hill. The past is just the past. And history is something that sometimes is neglected, sometimes is just plain forgotten. And sometimes, as we have seen in the last couple years, history can be tried, can be changed. How many know history can't be changed, right? But there has to be some footprints to follow. We've got to learn from the past. We've got to build upon the past of why this church was planted and what the goal and the intent of this church was for this area. There is a new generation that has been influenced, that needs to be influenced by Chapel on the Hill. The kids that grew up in this church, guess what? They grew up. They have their own kids. And so there is a new generation. There are people that have moved away. There are people that have moved in. And how many know there is a new generation to meet? We are to reach out to the new generation. Or we will find ourselves like Joshua and Judges, that when this generation is gone, people need footsteps to follow. First of all, they need to be footsteps or footprints that lead to the cross. But I'll be greedy and say, hey, I would love them to be part of our church. Right? But we need to leave some footprints behind. Footprints in the sand are only beneficial for people who know the story of Jesus. We can look back on that poem and think, that's a wonderful poem. But how many people really know the story of Jesus Christ? We have deceived ourselves thinking that the United States is a Christian nation. We're two or three generations out where people do not know the story of Jesus Christ, of the cross, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. Don't assume. The ministry and message of reconciliation is a commandment for every new generation. It has to be picked up. It has to be ran with. So this is where I'm going, laying the foundation here today. It is time to leave some footprints, church. And how many know people aren't going to find footprints leading to our church if we don't go out there and leave some? We got to leave some footprints. So if, just to close out, I don't want to leave footprints in the sand that can be washed away. We're looking at something a little bit more permanent. Something that somebody can follow. This is not where I wanted to start the sermon on, but I kind of felt like I had to back up. I want to talk about next week, God willing, about the character of the ambassador. We want God to move. We're a spirit-filled church. We want to see the gifts. But how many know sometimes the hindering of the Spirit isn't because of lack of prayer. Sometimes it's a lack of character. We don't preach much on character. We don't preach much on sin. But sometimes we become a stumbling block from people following us. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. People are watching your ministry of reconciliation. They're listening to your message. But let me ask you this, what are they seeing? Sometimes the message doesn't match up with the living. Father, we come into this house today. And Lord, I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about being part of this body. I'm excited about the individuals in here that, Lord, they're just raring to go and raring to do something. Their desire is to see you move in an incredible way. Father, I just ask that we can create some footprints into our communities, into our own families, Lord, that individuals can follow to you. Father, prepare our hearts, Lord. Because, Lord, sometimes we have compromised. We expect certain things to happen in spite of us. But Lord, it doesn't work that way. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's conditional. And I pray here today, Lord, that we will think about that today, that we will realize, Lord, that our life is preaching a message. And I pray that our message that we're living is matching the message that we're preaching. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you right now, and we just ask, God, that you would cleanse us today. Lord, even as a pastor, Lord, I have some lots of faults. But Lord, I know my need for you. The desire I have, Lord, is to please you. Is to be that holy sanctuary, Lord, prepared, Lord, for your service. I pray we can come to that place as a church here today, Lord, that we'll make a determination, God. That, God, if there are things in our life, God, that are going to trip people up, Lord, that we, Father, will be bold enough to deal with them. Lord, I just close this service out today, Lord, with just the desire, Lord, to lead and be part of what you're doing. We ask for discernment. We ask for wisdom. We ask for the Holy Spirit. I pray in your name. Amen. Amen.